Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Internal activities for acceptable prayer: silence and tranquility, fasting in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to give you a minute to sort of absorb that, because it took me a couple of days to absorb that title. And the key things that jumped out for me was acceptable prayer, silence, tranquility, fasting in the name of the Lord. And the whole theme for the year's been prayer. So I think that a lot of the talks have touched on a lot of these things. But as I was preparing it, the thing that sort of struck me a little bit was, how many people — rhetorical question, so don't put your hands up — but how many of us, when we finish our prayers, we don't feel comfort or at peace? We've still got this big question mark hanging at the end of our prayer. We've prayed, we've put our petitions before the Lord, and we don't may not necessarily feel at peace. Tranquility for me is equated to peace. So as we go through, as we share together today, the topic, and I don't want this to be a sermon. In fact, I didn't want to do a PowerPoint, and I wanted to do workshop something, but I came across some beautiful verses. And I didn't think you'd get the full value of the verses if I just read them, so hence a couple of slides. And when we're talking about prayer, I mean, let's be honest, we've got to be realistic as well. We're physical beings. We're spiritual beings, we're intellectual beings, okay? We have these components of our lives, of our being, sorry, and our lives. And for us to be able to fully engage in prayer and to be able to make the most of these internal activities, we need to acknowledge that there's a preparation and a state that each of these three need to be in, okay? We're physical, we're spiritual, we're intellectual. And I think St. Luke's verse in chapter 10 captures it really nicely. What's the objective of a whole being? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Okay? It's talking about worshipping God and being in union with Him with all our being. And I don't know whether we've had a topic of speakers talk about that so far this year or not. I don't know about you, but often we stop, put a full stop there, and we forget the rest of the verse. And love your neighbour as yourself. Okay? And I think this verse captures, summarises, for me, the essence of what today's meant to be about. And we'll talk about these elements as we go through, okay? So this isn't a sermon, so please jump in at any point. And I've just got some ideas here that I thought were, I found useful, and I just wanted to share. You're all too young to know Eric Clapton.
Okay.
He's not Saint Eric Clapton. He's just Eric Clapton. Okay. But this was something I read about. This I came across this a while ago actually, and it came from his — I hadn't read his autobiography, but I read about his autobiography, and he being your stereotypical hard rocker, hit alcohol, hit drugs, all the excesses of, you know, the stereotypical of a rock star. He did it to the point where he became a terrible addict, to the point where he actually collapsed on stage and had to revive him on stage at a concert once. And one of his good friends, I won't mention his name, but a lead singer of another rock band, encouraged him into therapy, okay? And he came to the end of being in therapy, and he realised he was no better than when he started. Okay? And that scared him. That he realised he was going to be leaving, you know, the rehab centre, no better than what he was, and he felt — and that scared him. That scared the daylights out of him. And then he found this something moving him. And it said, I had found a place. This is part of his quote. He said, "I found a place to turn to, a place I've always known was there, but never really wanted or needed to believe in. From that day until this, I have never failed to pray in the morning, on my knees asking for help, and at night to express gratitude for my life and most of all for my sobriety. What we don't realise is these guys, when they hit the skins, okay, and hit alcohol, they're actually drunk pretty much every single day. John English, one of the Australian singers, said there was, I think, a period of a year where he was literally drunk every single day of that year until he realised he had to do something that was killing him. I choose to kneel, and I found this interesting. I choose to kneel because I feel I need to humble myself when I pray. And with my ego, this is the most I can do. Okay, this isn't a saint from the desert. This isn't one of the great monks or, you know, the Saint Augustine's or the Origins or whatever. This is an everyday bloke, okay, who's lived excess, and he's realised the power of prayer. And I think he's touched on some very key points which we want to talk about. You know, the form of prayer, you know, on his knees, asking for help. He's recognised that he's recognising his need. He's got a structure in the morning and at night, and he realises he needs what his position is relative to God. And I thought this is a really interesting segue into one thing I'm going to share with you is, depending on who you read, etc., they've all got structures in terms of how to pray. Okay? So I've got sort of 8 steps that I find useful in terms of a structure. If I find my prayer life's a little bit all over the shop. I haven't had a chance to research it, but a lot of these icons show a bear. If anyone knows the story, come and tell me, but I need to research it. He said, as for fasts, vigils, prayers, almsgiving, and every good deed for Christ's sake are the only means of acquiring the Holy Spirit of God. And that made me think for a bit. What is our objective out of prayer? Okay, everyone will have a different answer we'll all have different answers to that depending on where we are in our stage of life and what's going on around us. For him, it was black and white. The whole purpose was acquiring the Holy Spirit. And think about it. And we're in the period now of this great fast, of the Apostles' fast, when the Lord said, I have to ascend, and when I ascend, I'll send you what? The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Paraclete, who will remind you of all things and guide you and comfort you. So I think it's really useful when we're praying to realise my objective here is not only to have a prayer answered and I've got a petition, but it's actually to unite with the Holy Spirit. St. Teresa of Avila, and if you remember, if there's only one verse I'd like you to sort of write down and memorise, I loved her definition of peace. Her definition was, peace is a matter of bringing our created will into harmony with the loving will that created it. Peace is a matter of bringing our created will into harmony with the loving will that created it. And if you think about it, we come back to the topic tranquility. Like, I'm tranquil when I'm at peace. When am I at peace? I'm at peace when my will is in harmony with the Lord's. Okay? And I have this image of this, you know, we've all seen the picture of the lighthouse on the top of the hill, on the top of the rock face, irrespective of the storm and the raging seas and whatever, it's untouched by what's going on around it. I'm tranquil, irrespective of what's happening around me, if my will is in harmony with the will of the loving will of God who created me. Okay? Why? Because I'm confident that He will then perfect all things that concern me. She also said, our attention should be on the Lord in prayer and on responding to His presence. And we need to do nothing but simply turn our attention to Him and occupy our minds with Him in prayer, which is a central practice of authentic Christian meditation. Okay, so her book's a really good one in terms of talking about, you know, there's a lot of different types of ways of prayer and prostrations, and all those things are important. But I just wanted to share some of these thoughts because I know they made me reevaluate my prayer life. Okay, and I wanted to share them with you in terms of, think about them in terms of which of these, what part of our prayer life needs a bit of tuning. She goes on to say, method is only a guide. The important thing is to advance. Okay, are we advancing? And advancing in the life of the Holy Spirit along the way of prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditation engages thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. And this mobilization of all our faculties is necessary in order to deepen our convictions of faith. We'll come to faith a little bit later. Prompt the conversion of our heart and strengthen our will to follow Christ. Sometimes, and often I think the mistake we make in the way we talk about prayer with our kids in our classes and those we serve is, sometimes we think of prayer as a genie in the bottle. I may have used this analogy in the past where, you know, I've fasted, I've prayed, okay, I've given my tithes, okay, I've come to church, I've called up my kids, now I'm entitled, I've rubbed the bottle, the genie bottle, I'm entitled now to my three wishes, okay? That's not what prayer's about. It deepens our convictions of faith, prompts the conversion of our hearts, and strengthens our will to follow Christ. Christian prayer tries above all to meditate on the mysteries of Christ. If you remember last year we had Abunuk Shoy, and he was saying an Orthodox servant is a biblical servant. And the extension to that is an Orthodox prayer is a biblical prayer. Okay, and we'll talk about that in a second as well. So I offer you a suggestion of 8 parts in terms of a prayer structure. Okay? We know 7's a complete number and the 8 today is the day of heaven, so 8's a nice round number. And we'll talk about this quickly. 1 is preparation, we'll touch on preparation. 2 is acknowledging who God is. Okay? The 3rd thing is acknowledging who I am relative to God, acknowledging my relationship to God, thanksgiving, then setting our petition, not the solution of what the outcome we want, but our petition, our issue, in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. An integral part when you read what the saints say about prayer, it has to include praying for others. And then there's a belief, and I should have added to that action. We'll talk about that, okay? So, preparation, acknowledging who God is, acknowledging who I am, acknowledging my relationship to God, then thanksgiving, and we know all our services, including the funeral services, all begin with thanksgiving, then setting our petitions in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 is praying for others and then believing in action. The first thing in preparation, and if you think about it, anything you want to do, there's a lead up to it. And if we find our prayers a week, then it might be, if we're talking about the peace, the silence and tranquility, if we talk about the tranquility element, then it's a key part of it is, might be, if we're not feeling that sense of tranquility and peace, it might be because our preparation's not quite right. Okay? So if I've sat there and you've been watching the sport, or been watching TV and whatever, or I've had a lot of noise around me, and then I've got to try and go straight into prayer, okay, it's hard to focus, it's hard to engage. So there's a preparation process. I'm sure the speakers in the past have talked about the power of hymns. What's the work of the angels in heaven? They praise God. And I don't think Uncle Mackie is always hammering us on this. You know, hymns needs to be an integral part of our worship, okay, and our prayer life. Can you all read that? The second is about our physical preparation, okay? If I've just had a great, mum's cooked me a great dinner, okay, and I've had my stomach filled, okay, with, you know, the fantastic kushi, whatever, now we're fasting, okay? The blood flows to our stomach, okay, and we just want to sleep, okay? For those who can't see from the back, it's the cartoon says, let's ease into this. I want you to try fasting between meals. Okay, so our bodies need to be in the right state. Okay, if I'm in an agitated state or I'm in a lazy state, I need to be prepared for it. And you all know the verses talking about the power of fasting. And we all feel the power of fasting. The Orthodox Church is built on the spiritual growth is built on subduing the body so the spirit can grow. So I'm not going to go into that because we all know about it. The other part is the preparation. Yes, we should be praying throughout the day, but there's got to be set times where we just set aside where it's just us, this privacy between us and the Lord. Okay? It's like a married couple. There needs to be that quiet time of intimacy. And we all know how often the Lord went to the mountains, okay, went to somewhere quiet and prayed. And we know that on the night of Great Thursday, after the Sabbath, they went to the mountains and they sung hymns. And then he distanced himself and he prayed. I don't know about you, but often when I think about that night, I think about the prayer, okay, we get that in Luke 17, but also the drops of blood and the arrest. But what, I don't know about you, but what I often overlook is he was comforted by an angel that night. So if we want to feel the Lord's comfort, or the comfort of the angels and the heavenly hosts around us, and the saints who whose intercessions we seek, then there needs to be that distancing ourselves from everybody else. Okay? Because when I'm distanced from everybody else, I'm going to then be more sensitive to feeling the presence of the Lord. And I can then feel the presence of guardian angels and the Lord's comfort. So there needs to be a preparation phase. Second phase is acknowledging who God is and acknowledging who I am and claiming God's promises to me. If you look at any, I pulled out some prayers, and we're not going to have time to go through them, but if you look at any prayer at all in the Bible, you look at the Lord's Prayer himself in Luke 17, you look at Hannah's prayer, okay? You look at what happened to Elijah, okay? After the great sacrifice and slaying the priests of Baal, and he then disappeared into the wilderness, okay? There was this preparation time, there was this quiet time. If you look at Moses, in the 40 years Moses spent in the desert, there's this quiet time. The Lord separates everybody. You know, the Lord separates people so they can then focus on him and put the rest of the world into context. And they always have this structure. Almost without exception, there's this structure. They acknowledge who God is, his power, his majesty, his awesomeness. He's the creator of all things, okay? But, and my position in that, I'm a created being, he's God Almighty. And that's why the humbling is important, the prostrating is important. Why? Because it reminds me of my position. But what it also, I need to never forget is who I am and who am I. I am, my relationship with him is, I am his son, I am his daughter. In fact, it's more than that, because I am united with him, he has united me with him. Can you close the door, Mom, please? And my relationship with him through the Eucharist and his sacrifice for me. When I do this, I'm not reminding God of this, because he doesn't forget. He knows. I'm reminding myself of my relationship with God. I'm reminding myself of my importance to God. I mean, a lot of the issues we talk about in terms of the kids and the classes and what they've got comes down to this point. Acknowledging my relationship to God and how precious I am in his sight, to the point where he shed his blood for me. So my value, my essence, my validation, my self-worth, my self-image, my self-respect, my resilience, all comes from what? My relationship to God, and knowing that very clearly, okay, that I am his son, I am his daughter. So you can see there's this structure where, yes, the Bible gives us a structure that has an important part of our prayer. But I realise in this as well that where I fit into it, in terms of how do I get the most out of that, to manage that sense of that silence and that tranquility, to get that sense of peace and fulfillment in my prayer. An integral part of this as well is quoting the Lord's, the Bible, in our prayer. It's really good to have done our Bible readings before the evening prayer. Why? Because an integral part of it needs to be incorporating what we've read for the day in our prayers. And I think this would have if I can encourage us all to try this with our classes, encourage the kids, and do this as well in the class when you pray with them, or if you pray with them over the phone, what did you read today, and how do we incorporate that and make that alive in my life, in my prayer life, okay? So try as much as we can to incorporate the Bible readings in our prayer life with the kids, okay? Depending on what we've read and how we can make that alive. Because I'm not reminding God of his promises, although that's the way I'm doing it. I'm reminding myself of God's promises, and what I'm doing is that I'm actually claiming God's promises. Does that make sense? Because if I end my prayer with a question mark still, then what I'm doing is I'm undermining God's power in my life. I'm limiting his power in my life because I'm limiting how much I'm opening myself up to him. Asking, you will receive. Knocking, it will be open to you. Seeking, you will find. So if I don't do that, I'm not knocking, I'm not asking, I'm not seeking. So this is how we knock, we ask, we seek. We all know the power of thanksgiving, yeah? A lot of people in the room here are parents. If your kids don't acknowledge what you've given them, do you give them more? No, why not? Why not? I've got two mothers smiling at me. One of your sons in the room and doesn't want to ask. Let me ask one of the sons. No, seriously, why, if we don't give thanksgiving, why is that important? Let me ask the question differently. Why is it important to give thanksgiving? Appreciating, I'm valuing it. What else?
Showing understanding of what you're doing for me.
And the value of it? Yeah, understanding
what you're doing for me. So I'm thanking you.
I actually value more what I have. Because if I'm not thankful and I just want more and more and more, I'm not going to value what I have. Am I ever going to be happy?
No.
Okay? So God kind of does that a little bit to us as well because he's a loving father. He doesn't want us to be spoiled, okay, and reinforce our spoiled nature. So it's the power of thanksgiving we all know about. One problem we often do is say to God, you've got to fix this problem and this is how I want you to fix it. Okay, I don't know about you, but you know that's a mistake I have to be mindful of. We're putting the petition, the case in front of the Lord, not the solution. And if you look at the prayers in the Bible, even Jonah in the belly of the whale, okay, if you look at Hannah in pleading for a son, okay, they plead in front of the Lord in the Lord's name. So in St. John chapter 14, we read, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I was really moved by one of our sermon today about the blind and the mute man. And it made me think, as a servant, am I blind and mute in my service? Okay. How much do I ask for and believe in through prayer that God will hear my prayer and do what I ask? Okay? Whatever you ask in my name, and you'll do greater works than these. Okay? Now, that's an expectation he has of all of us, especially us as servants, especially us with souls that have been committed to us in the service. Okay? He expects of us to do his works and greater works than these. And we have to ask it in his name. For what? For the sake of those we serve. So do we believe that God can move mountains in the lives of these kids? It's actually it's a very easy thing to physically move a mountain. Okay? The church prayed for 3 days and moved a mountain. The more difficult thing is to help someone overcome an addiction, whatever that addiction might be. Okay? If you've ever been involved in trying to help someone overcome an addiction with drugs or whatever, okay, that's very difficult, okay, because they have to want to change. Okay, you can't take someone, or you can't admit someone into a clinic, for example, a rehab clinic. They have to admit themselves. Okay, the clinic won't even talk to you unless that person's willing to admit themselves. Okay, so they're the harder task. They're the real miracles. Okay, and that's what God's expecting of us as servants. St. James tells us if our prayers aren't being answered, he gives us the secret to it in James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So we need to then evaluate where we are in terms of what we ask for and what we pray for and what our true heart, where our true hearts are. I was reading something the other day which was talking about the Song of Songs, okay? And he kisses me with the kisses of his lips. And one of the contemplations was, you can't be kissed by the Lord if you've been kissed by the world. Take your pick, you're only going to get kissed by one, not both. Which one do you want to be kissed by? Okay. And if I want to be kissed by the Lord, then, you know, that's more likely to happen when I'm in a state of tranquility and quiet, and I've found a quiet spot that I have to make each day and some quiet time. St. Anthony said, this is the seventh part, we need to pray for others, because prayer is not a selfish thing. If you remember St. Anthony, and there was the heresy going on at the time, and he knew St. Athanasius had a real fight on his hands. And St. Anthony realized it's not just enough to pray for the church, he actually physically went down to Alexandria, it said. Okay? And his presence alone was enough. Just his presence alone in Alexandria coming down to support the Pope was enough to make a message to the people. And St. Anthony said, our life and death is with our neighbour. If we gain our brother, we have gained God. If we scandalise our brother, we have sinned against Christ. Okay? So the integral part of our prayer has to be for others. It's not just a selfish thing. Okay? And the eighth point, which I'll finish with, is we have to believe and act. Okay? It's got to be done in faith. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And often we have this misconception, I don't know about you, but often sometimes I've got to correct myself in my prayers where it's a case of God can help everybody else except this situation in my life. Why? Why do we limit God? He's not limited. We limit his power and his work in us. And we're coming back to the topic of today being tranquility, that sense of peace. And I love Hannah. She started off when she was praying and Eli the priest saw her, and she started off and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So you can imagine this vision of this woman, okay, in her prayers, to the point where she was just, you know, to the priest she was mumbling, she was praying silently but moving her lips, and she looked at him like she must have been quite a sight to behold. So Eli said to her, hey, you know, it's a bit early in the morning to be drunk, okay, that's the state she was in. And she said, and she responded to Eli, as we know, and her response to her was, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she believed and trusted. In the power of God. And her response was, let your maidservant find favour in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So we need to have this same level of faith in our prayers, and God will answer it. Okay? Why? Because we're sick. Often we don't see God's work in our life because what we're looking for is a solution. So we get anguished. We're not attracted to peace and tranquility. We're anguished and we're frustrated. Why? Because we're looking for God to answer, solve, give me this solution. That's what I've prayed for. Rather than trusting that God will solve the petition, the issue itself. I'm just conscious we're running out of time, so I'll try and finish it quickly. And this is the last slide. We are called for action. Okay? God will save his people. I saw this cute caption the other day, and it said, God may have ascended to heaven physically, but he's still physically on earth through us. Okay? In terms of being co-workers of the Lord. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the bottomless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. For I have bent Judah my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Jerusalem, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. The Lord wants us all to be swords of a mighty man. So in prayer, it's not just something where we take refuge, we are refreshed, we are strengthened, but we are done. This is all done for us then to get up and do something. If you look at when the Lord appeared to anybody and answered their prayers, it wasn't just a selfish response for them alone. There was an action as a consequence of it. When the Lord appeared to Elijah after he spent 40 days in the desert, okay, and then he appeared to him, what did the Lord then do? He gave him a series of instructions, okay, and he went back. Okay, he faced his fears and he went back. If you look at the Lord himself at the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed. Okay. And what came from that? Okay. He was then arrested, and then he went to, and then he was betrayed. He was arrested. He then defended. Yeah. He went in front of Pontius Pilate, etc., and then went to the cross. Even the apostles, and when the feast fast of the apostles said they separated themselves to prayer, okay, and ministry of the word of God. So every prayer comes as a precursor for being prepared. And if you think about the full armor of the Lord, we're putting on the armor of the Lord through prayer. We're preparing ourselves for battle through prayer, because we then have to get up and there's action on our part, whatever that is that we've been called to do.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media.